Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. Father, in Psalm 145, we read, "The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The eyes of all look to you in hope." So we look to you in hope again today, that we have an opportunity before us to make a difference in our state. So make Montana a stronger state, a better state, by using these senators to make decisions that please you. And I pray for others in this building who are part of this process as well. In your righteousness and your graciousness, guide us today. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 48 members are present. Senators Olson and Weber are excused.
Quorum being present, the Senate is ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on energy and telecommunications. Report that Senate Bills 255 and Senate Joint Resolution 10 do pass as amended. Senator Walt Sales, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Fish and Game. Report that Senate Bill 295 do pass as amended and that Senate Resolution 3 be adopted. Steve Heinbach, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Senate Finance and Claims. Report that Senate Bill 229 do pass. Senator John S., Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Highways and Transportation. Report that Senate Bill 344 do pass and that Senate Bill 342 do pass as amended. Senator Teresa Manzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Senate Judiciary. Report that Senate Bills 299, 321, and 363 do pass and that Senate Bills 249, 287 and 320 do pass as amended. Senator Keith Regier, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on taxation. Report that Senate Bill 104 do pass as amended. Senator Greg Hertz, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will be on order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives from the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this day read three several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are here transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 21, Brewster. House Bill 295, Bergstrom. House Bill 299, Hinkle. House Bill 314, Brockman. House Bill 325, Helgard. House Bill 358, Zolnikoff. House Bill 379, Welch. House Bill 400, Mercer. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will be on order business number six, first reading commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 447 through 450, 452, 459, Senate Joint Resolution 15 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. Senate Bills 451, 460 through 462, House Bills 291, 295, 299, 314, 325, 358, 379, and 400 have been introduced and read. Senate Bill 277 and House Bill 320 have been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will be on order business number seven, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, go to motions real quick.
That objection, go to order business number nine, motions.
Mr. President, I move we suspend all the rules for the passage of SB 414.
That objection, so ordered. That objection will go to order business number seven, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the committee resolve itself, the committee of the whole, for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Regier please take the chair?
Members of the committee, be in order. Mr. President.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Bill 414, it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 414, and I'm going to get a little emotional here. This is designed for somebody that's very special to all of us. I've been fortunate to serve with her for three terms now, three sessions, and I can tell you that she's taken me out of the fire where I've thrown myself in 100 times and has come up with an answer. So there's a lot of whereas clauses, and I'll just read a couple of them. I think they're relevant. Whereas Marilyn Miller is a Montanan who has dedicated her working life to serving the people of her home state. And that is a true comment because it's been over 40 years. And that is beyond a working life. That is a life that she's given to the state of Montana. Whereas Marilyn Miller has served admirably as the chief clerk of the House of Representatives for 8 legislative sessions and secretary of the Senate for 8 additional legislative sessions. And whereas Marilyn Miller, during her time in state government, has set the standard for public service, leadership, professional competency, and integrity. And I think everybody in this room could agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Whereas Marilyn Miller has mentored, trained, definitely trained me, and supported hundreds of secretaries, legislative staff, state government personnel, and the occasional elected official in the performance of her duties. And whereas Marilyn Miller has set an example for her colleagues by performing her duties with patience, God bless her, decorum, always, and a good sense of humor. Whereas Marilyn Miller is an invaluable and irreplaceable part of the legislature who has gone above and beyond to support Montana's elected officials in the course of her duties. There are definitely more whereas clauses, but I wouldn't end up staying up here all day. And what this bill allows for, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, is we are going to take the executive offices that the Republicans now utilize, and we're going to name them the Marilyn Miller Executive Suites.
Mr. President, I told you not to sing happy birthday.
And we did not.
This is absolutely outrageous. And I love every single person here. I've loved every single person I've ever worked for. When I was in the House, a reporter from Bozeman was interviewing me and asked what I thought when I looked out. And I saw 100 pairs of eyes looking back at me. And I said, I don't see 100 pairs of eyes. I see 100 people, and I know a nice thing about every single one of them. And I know a nice thing about every single one in this room. And I will never forget this. And just thank you. And I know this is totally beyond decorum, but my family is up there. Would you all stand up? Come on. I saw my daughter. The president took me out for lunch. I've never been out for lunch. He took me out for lunch today, and when we're coming back, I see my daughter. Where's my daughter? Oh, there she is. She's walking in with a bouquet of flowers. So I know she's in the building somewhere. So I went in my office, and I went in the chambers. I couldn't find her, and there she is up there with her. Where's my flowers? So anyway, thank you very much. And now you can really do second reading.
Hey, boss, happy birthday.
By the way, this is an official second reading. This is a bill. So I will yield to proponents and anybody that would like to say anything nice.
It's obvious there are no amendments to Marilyn Miller. Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In no way I want to take this disrespect for the lady you're honoring today. I met her in 1964. Her husband, and she accepted the first job at Malta High School. That's all. Thank you, Marilyn.
We can come back to you. Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Secretary Miller and I have some fun in the morning, nearly every morning. And I always ask her, have you seen the president? And she says, oh, you just missed him. And at 7:30, you all know that's not the case.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say on behalf of the minority caucus here, there is no one in the building that's more gracious, more helpful, or more kind to all of us. And thank you so much for making us feel welcome and not quite so stupid every day. So thank you.
Great. Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to say that Marilyn Miller does the memorial for all of our past senators, representatives, individuals who have worked in this building better than anybody I know. And last session, she came up with a really unique solution to what was becoming kind of a challenge, and only Marilyn could have done that, but she does it session after session with such grace, and it's so beautiful every year. We do appreciate that, and I don't know that most people know that she coordinates all that and has done that for years. Thank you, Marilyn.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know the President has already spoken, but I too want to thank you, Marilyn, on behalf of the Republican caucus. It's been a pleasure working with you. I know on behalf of all of us, we've enjoyed serving with you, and you've made our life here pleasurable and fun, and it's been great to work with you, so thank you.
Those of you that are already spoken, if you are done, click off. Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body, and thank you, Marilyn. For those of you who have not had the opportunity to either be a speaker or Senate president, it's not always easy to get organized for each and every day. But, you know, with individuals like Marilyn, and especially Marilyn, working in coordination between the two houses, without an individual like her, none of this could be accomplished. So thank you, Marilyn.
Anyone else? Seeing none, Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close on your bill?
Yes, sir. members of the body, I love you, Marilyn. You've been there for so many of us. I see you all the time stopping people when they're down and you pick them up. Finding people like me that get lost and you get us back on the path. We have a beautiful watercolor of what this is going to look like. So after this passes, which it damn well better. Or I will have someone's head. We all just care for you and love you dearly. Mr. Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 414, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators having...
I'm sorry. I just can't stop here. I have been going to retire forever and ever, and these people here have kept up waiting for me to retire so they could retire. I have had, you know, I ask for 50 people to pop up every of my 16 sessions who just don't happen to have anything to do for 90 days, and we train them, and they turn into the absolutely the best staff, and I, every year they get better and better and better, and I just have to thank you guys for everything you did for me.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise report and beg leave to sit again.
Okay, you've heard the motion from Senator Fitzpatrick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Ayes have it.
That objection will be on order of business number 8, third reading commitment of bills. Senator Fitzpatrick. Do we need a motion?
I believe we're there, Mr. Chair. I move to put Senate Bill 414 on third reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Be on order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 414, introduced by, I have no idea.
Me.
And very lovingly received, be passed.
Senate Bill 414 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Somebody might want to hit my button. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 lovely members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Bill 414 has passed third reading. Without objection, we'll be back on order business number 7.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
Okay, members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 127. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 127, introduced by Hertz. A bill for an act entitled an act requiring the state and Lake County to agree on the amount of reimbursement for assuming criminal jurisdiction over Flathead Reservation, providing that if funding is not agreed on and appropriated, the state shall assume criminal jurisdiction over Flathead Reservation, amending section, repealing section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 127. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 127, it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill is basically trying to move some issues that we have forward. So I want you to look at page 1 of the bill, line 15. It says, the state of Montana hereby obligates and binds itself to assume criminal jurisdiction on the Flathead Indian Reservation. That's been in law since 1963. And in regard to that, you can see that Lake County, which is the main county what this involves, has been funding this particular issue since 1963. It was not an issue back in the early 60s, 70s, 80s, but now it has become a significant burden on Lake County. And as we go forward, what this bill does, it allows, as you look forward on line 20, it says the state shall reimburse Lake County for assuming criminal jurisdiction under this section annually. So that's already in law. They did fund it last session to the tune of $1. So I decided we need to amend the law again this year that basically is going to say that the state and the county need to sit down to a mutual agreed upon amount. And that's the intent of this bill, and that's what we need to do. And why? So if you look at the fiscal note, if the state were to pay the entire amount of funding Public Law 280 in Lake County, it'd be almost $5 million a year. That's kind of worst case scenario there. The county's willing to sit down and talk about this. But the bill also, from previous session, allows Lake County to withdraw from Public Law 280. And if that happens, and the county commissioners have already passed a resolution to that intent, except that will not become effective until the end of May, which gives the legislature time to continue on and work on this process. And I've been working behind the scenes, talking with the administration and seeing where we can get. But if this thing all falls apart, I want you to go to the last page of the fiscal note. Under the technical notes, number 2. Basically, it says if Lake County and the state cannot come to an agreement, then the state will assume criminal jurisdiction in Lake County. Costs cannot be defined at this time, but that will include law enforcement offers, a detention center, prosecutional services, local court facilities, and more. That could potentially cost the state $75 to $100 million initial investment, and then probably $5 to $8 million ongoing. So what I'm asking the body to do today is let's keep this bill moving, let's get it down to finance and claims, and let's see if we can come to a resolution here that works for everybody in the state of Montana. Thank you.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I ask that we resist this bill today. You know, certainly I can empathize with some of the some of the sentiments expressed by the good senator from Lake County, but I do see this as a windfall for one county. There are three other counties that encompass parts of the Flathead Reservation. I believe that all of them, all of those counties are involved in prosecuting some felonies there. You know, I think all counties would love to get a little extra money from the state. I know my county certainly would. There is a fentanyl crisis happening across the state, and we're all struggling to try and figure out how to pay for that. Again, you know, a little empathy to the folks from Lake County, but this just isn't fair to all other counties, and I'd ask we vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's quite a predicament. I don't know how else to say it. Of all the different parties and the different procedures that are involved in all of this, this bill is a tool to help us continue the process to come to some sort of resolution. So I would ask that you continue this bill forward so that it'll help get people to talk about this, and maybe something good will happen and we can forego what could be a public or basically, you know, a law enforcement emergency on our in Lake County. And that's my biggest worry about all this, is what's going to happen if the end of I guess May comes and they pull out. All the things that could happen, none of it would be good. And so this is a tool we need to take to the table for use. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in strong support of this bill. Public Law 280 was, to my understanding, the only law of its kind dealing with a very mutually beneficial relationship between the tribe and the county governments in Lake County. It has undergone continued strain. All this bill does, I supported this bill to go forward so that negotiations be continued, because if negotiations are not, we don't reach a conclusion or satisfactory resolution, what will happen will be catastrophic for the tribe and for the citizens of Lake County, all of them. So I urge support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For those who have worked through this kind of a process, Senator Hertz, there's some other in the House. I know Senator Solomon and I, they are the leads, particularly Senator Hertz, on this bill. This wonderful Lake County has struggled for years. If we don't get help, you know, the devastation that this can cause might be irreparable. However, as the good senator brought up, there could be a big tax or a big income or a big charge for the state of Montana. So let's do it the right way. Let's move this forward. This is a great bill. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Sponsor. I will. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hertz, can you explain to me why does Lake County not go after the feds on this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, thank you for the question. Well, if you look at state law, this law is between the state of Montana and the federal government. Lake County's just been picking out the tab, so we're not party to the agreement. So we don't have any ability to go after the federal government. The state does, but the state too right now really has no harm. They haven't had to pay for any of this. So at some point in time, we do need to get the federal government to step up and pay for this, just like everything else that they have failed to pay for on our Indian reservations, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's Indian health services. So thank you for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll just speak to the bill a little bit here. Just, you know, this is a good bill, and this is a way of moving forward. We had a resolution that we passed out of here, I believe, by a 100% vote, calling on the feds to go ahead and start paying their fair share of law enforcement on all the reservations. And this is one way to begin to start to put some pressure on them to help fund this public law 280 as well. And I believe that Sanders County does have some agreements with Lake County in some of these cases. But just imagine, in any one of our counties, if it, all of a sudden you've got to swallow an extra $5 million bill. This, I believe, it takes up somewhere around 40% of their property taxes going to fund this. You know, I think we can leave it there, but we need a green light. Thank you.
Senators, if you're done speaking, turn your button off. Otherwise, I'll think you want to speak again. Seeing no one else, Senator, would you care to close on your bill?
Thank you, and thank you, members of the body. I just want to clarify, this really only does impact Lake County. Although the Flathead Indian Reservation touches on parts of Missoula, Sanders, and Flathead County, as far as I know, arrests in regards to this particular agreement, I think there's only been two or three since this was implemented in the 60s. All of those counties just have very small slivers of the Flathead Indian Reservation. So I truly hope that everybody in this body can support this bill. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 127, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
With 34 senators having voted aye and 16 having voted no, Senate Bill 127 has passed on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 293. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 293, introduced by Nolan and others, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring the placement of posters related to preventing the spread of invasive species at public rest areas and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 293. What is your pleasure, Senator Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill number 293, I recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Body, we are proposing that we put these posters out at our rest areas. If you read on line 12 where it talks about posted notice required at rest areas, it has only been able to be allowed where a human trafficking hotline is promoted. So we have to do a bill so that we can add this. What we're trying to do is help educate the folks that invasive species need to be addressed. We've done a really good job, and I'd like to thank my good Senator Cuff, who introduced me to aquatic invasive species my first session, and we helped get some bills passed to prevent our waters from being polluted. This is just, we're allowing where we can have posters to help all those people who come into our state, let them know, keep Montana clean with a clean drain and dry. Mr. Chair.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Sponsor yield?
Yes, I do.
Just go ahead. Quick question. Is this just invasive species, or does this include noxious weeds?
This is invasive species, and I did want to say that it's all paid for. That's why we don't have a fiscal note. It's already handled.
So, follow up?
Go ahead.
So, just to be clear, it does not include noxious weeds?
I do not see that in the bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have a great AIS program. Senator Nolan's been a big part of making it happen, and it's a good idea. Thank you, Senator Nolan.
Seeing no further questions, Senator Nolan, you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Nolan that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 293, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators voting aye, Senate Bill 293 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 13. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report, I move the nominations transmitted by the governor, concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 13.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Senate Resolution 13, the governor's appointees to the Board of Medical Examiners. And the medical examiners protect the health, safety, and well-being of Montana citizens with the licensing of competent health professionals. The board has 13 members. Five members are doctors of medicine, one osteopathy, one podiatrist, one nutritionist, one physician assistant, one acupuncturist, and one volunteer emergency worker, and two general public members. So there's a bunch that have been appointed here. Anna Diaz fills the general public member. Christine Emerson is a licensed nutritionist. James Guire is a doctor of medicine. Gina Painter is a podiatrist. Tony Paff is a general public member. He's also the CEO of Cypress Healthcare. Carly Robinson, doctor of medicine. Adam Smith, osteopath, doctor of medicine. Connie Weathern, emerging medical technician, and Brooks Yates is a physician's assistant. I recommend and do concur. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, you wish to close on the bill? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 13, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators having voted aye, Senate Resolution 13 has been adopted.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 50. Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and conferred by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 50.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the nomination of Charlie Brereton for the Director of Department of Public Health. Mr. Brereton was in our Public Health Committee, and I find him an extremely impressive individual, so I'm wholeheartedly encouraging the body to support his nomination. Mr. Brereton comes with solid experience in the arena of public health care, working for various senators on Capitol Hill, representatives, governors, law firms. So his whole career has been dedicated to public health. Mr. Brereton's extremely passionate about these issues. He came to Montana with Governor Gianforte when the governor was elected. One of the reasons that Mr. Brereton was excited about coming to Montana is because he has family ties here. So that keeps him planted in the state for a long time. He was appointed as Deputy Director of DPHHS in June of 21. And then in 22, he was appointed to be the director after the resignation of Adam Meyer. In my view, this is an excellent appointment, especially when you consider Mr. Brereton's conviction that Public Health and Human Service needs to help and support individuals who have needs in the state of Montana. And then after supporting and part of that support needs to help them to become independent members of the state of Montana. And sometimes that's been lacking. We tend to, in the departments of public health, keep people as dependents. The goal of the department is to have a person be dependent and their children be dependents forever. Maybe not intentionally, but by default. But Director Barrington's goal is to help people get the support they need, and then when they're able and capable, to move from that support to being independent individuals. I just think that's an extremely worthy goal, and his job at Department of Public Health is now helping that department shift and turn toward the entire department takes on that vision. And again, like I say, he's an extremely passionate individual. I think he's doing a great job, and I just strongly encourage a do concur on this motion. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Lim.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, am going to support Mr. Barrington's confirmation here. As the vice chair of Section B, I have sat down there for 6 weeks, and Director Barrington has been there every single day and has been transparent, forthcoming. He is engaged and adds to the conversation every day. This is my sixth session, and I haven't seen a director of that agency that has been that engaged and that willing to work with the legislature. It's truly a partnership. So I'm encouraged, and I'm excited about what he will bring to that department. I encourage green vote.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you care to close?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Again, I'd like to just affirm my how impressed I am with the director. I mean, in his hearing, I've never seen people come in and support him that ever before. And I've been in a lot of confirmation hearings. Just his qualities, his capability, his outstanding professionalism, and desire to make that department one of the best in the nation. So I encourage a green light. Thank you.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator McGillivray that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Resolution 50, recommend be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators haven't voted aye, 17 haven't voted nay. Senate Resolution 50 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 16. What is your pleasure, Senator McGillivray?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 16.
Senator McGillivray.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the governor's appointments to the Board of Behavioral Health. This board consists of 11 members, 3 members licensed social workers, 3 professional counselors. 1 member must represent the general public, and 2 must be licensed addiction counselors. And finally, 1 member must be a certified behavioral peer support specialist. And 1 member must be a licensed marriage and family therapist. Megan Bailey is a qualified licensed marriage and family therapist. Laura Deaver, public member. Carol Staben Burroughs, a licensed professional counselor. Jolie Johnson, clinical social worker. Joseph Sushanik, licensed professional counselor. Mona Sumner, licensed addiction counselor. Annette Redding, certified peer support specialist. Sherry Rigg, licensed addiction counselor. And Aaron Williams, a licensed professional counselor. I encourage you to concur. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McGillivray when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Resolution 16, it recommend the same be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Molnar. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Resolution 16 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 311. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 311, introduced by Usher and others, a bill for an act entitled an act reducing the number of associate justices on the Supreme Court, providing for the accomplishment of the reduction, providing for contingent voidness, amending section, and providing effective dates and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk will read the section.
Sections 1 through 9.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 311. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 311, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair and members of the body, this bill, Senate Bill 311, is to reduce the amount of associate Supreme Court justices down by two. And I say that because in our Constitution, the Chief Justice is different and set aside. So originally, we had four associates, and in 1979, in our Constitution, it allows the legislature to change the amount by two. In 1979, this body did that. The reason why I looked at doing this, and it was brought to my attention, is it's about efficient government. All of our neighboring states, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Idaho, all have five total. Most of the similar-sized states of population around the country also have five. That's even some of the states that have more population than us, because obviously there's not very many close. But that's Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Utah, Alaska, Hawaii, Delaware. They all have five. The average number of case filings from 2018 to 2022 was 682 cases. It's a decrease of 15% compared to the same time period in 2013 to 2017, and the lowest since 1993 to 1997. Caseload is going down. With that said, I'll stand for questions if needed, and I'll close.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the committee. The sponsor has a really good intention in bringing this bill, and improving efficiencies throughout our government is a goal that I share with the senator who represents my county but not my city, and I think it's a goal that most of us in this body share. And I really love history, so I really appreciate this bill because it gave me an opportunity to go back in time to a time long before I was thinking about issues such as how many justices does the Montana Supreme Court need to efficiently and expediently get through its caseloads? So if you read the accompanying paperwork for this bill, you got a little bit of history. And maybe some of you were there, or at least recall when the legislature first upped the number of associate justices from four to six, and that was in 1979. A sunset provision was included, and every two or four years or so, legislators took another look at caseloads to determine whether government efficiencies could be improved and whether we should drop back down to four associate justices plus the chief justice. Each and every time, it was determined that caseloads were high enough to extend the sunset. And then finally, in 1995, Republican Senator Crippen observed that we seem to be in a, quote, law and order mode in this legislature. Folks at home seem to be saying we need more law and order, and that does not come without the price of increased caseloads, end quote. So we found that in the minutes of the hearing on the bill in 1995 to remove the sunset and to leave the court at six associate justices plus one chief justice. So that was a Republican senator from Billings, and over his 20-year career in the Senate, he was served as a whip, a minority leader, and as president and president pro tem, and he chaired the Judiciary Committee. I just really enjoyed that history, so I wanted to share it with the body committee. I would argue that, once again, we are in a law and order mode in this legislature. We've passed a variety of bills this session, allowing for the stacking of felonies, bills enhancing felonies, and we've created new felonies. More felonies means more scrutiny, more appeals, and more cases that will land at the Montana Supreme Court. Crucially, Montana does not have an appellate court. That's what differentiates us from most of the states the good senator mentioned in his open. So the Montana Supreme Court hears every single appeal from every district court in the state, and they're doing a really great job. The Supreme Court has an internal policy to turn around each and every case in 180 days, and they're meeting their own goal, sometimes exceeding getting them done faster. And how is that possible? Well, most cases are assigned a 5-justice panel. That does not mean that there are 2 justices sitting on the sidelines, though, twiddling their thumbs. There are more than enough cases to keep the judges working full-time, and then some, to ensure speedy resolution to criminal cases, to family law cases, to constitutional cases, and to parental rights cases. We all know the axiom, justice delayed is justice denied. There are a whole lot of folks across Montana, our constituents, and maybe some of us, who will be the ultimate losers if this bill passes. Mr. President, members of the committee, I would ask us to vote no. Thank you.
Senator Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question for the sponsor.
Will the sponsor yield?
I yield, Mr. President.
Senator Marshall.
Mr. President, Senator Usher, just a quick question. How many states with five Supreme Court justices that you just listed off have an intermediate court of appeals?
Mr. President, Senator, I don't know exactly how many, but I didn't list all the states, but I know all of them do not.
Speak to the bill, Mr. Chair.
Senator Marshall.
So Idaho does. Idaho does have a court of appeals, and I believe all but 10 states in the United States have an intermediary court. There's a reason why we have the number of justices, as was just laid out, so I would ask you all to resist this bill and vote no.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. I will. Couple things. I actually got a history lesson. In 1789, President Washington, when there were 6 U.S. Supreme Court justices, he said, the law should be clear and all cases should be unanimous. I bring that up because if you read the bill, there is the first proposal is the next election, we would not have an election for an associate justice, and 2 years after we would not. So there would be 2 years that we would have an even number of justices. Besides what President Washington said, as the good senator over there mentioned, all of the opponents did admit that most of our cases are done by a 5-judge panel. So if they're done by a 5-judge panel, doesn't matter if there's 6, an even number of 6, because we're not using them. We use them 5 anyway. With that said, too, someone mentioned, I think it was a good senator from Billings mentioned, 180 days is the Supreme Court's rule, internal rule, to clear cases and have opinions out, and they're actually, and I just I got this the other day from off the Montana Supreme Court's website, and we're doing that in about half the time. So they're not going to double in the amount of time just because we lose 2 justices when we're using 5 justice panels anyway. With that said, again, it is a positive fiscal note, brings money back into the general fund. And I think it's actually not going to hurt our efficiency. I think with 5, we do just fine. And the statistics prove that. So go green.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher. When this committee does rise and report, having under consideration Senate Bill 311, recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 24 senators vote aye and 26 senators vote nay.
24 senators haven't voted aye, 26 haven't voted nay. Senate Bill 311 does not pass second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move to indefinitely postpone Senate Bill 311.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators haven't voted aye, 15 haven't voted no. The motion carries. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 72. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
Senate Bill 72, introduced by Fitzpatrick by request of the DNRC, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising the Powers, Duties, Terms, Designations, Appointments, Operations, and Jurisdictions of the Water Court, providing for the Governor's appointment of water judges, providing for water court jurisdiction over water distribution, revising the appointment of water commissioners, designating water judges to water divisions, providing that water judges enforce final decrees, providing for water court administrator, revising the powers and duties of water masters, revising the process to petition for department action on unperfected water rights, revising judicial review of certain contested cases, providing definitions, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 59.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 72. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration, Senate Bill 72 recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. What this bill does is it says revise administration of water rights, but really what it does is it shifts jurisdiction from district courts for water issues to the water court. Let me go back here. About 50 years ago, the state of Montana started what's called a water rights adjudication process, and what happens in that process is that people file claims, and then the water court, which was created for this purpose, evaluates the claims, and it decides various things, you know, things such as how much water is actually being used, the place of diversion. And the idea is that we would come up with a final decree that would list and show everybody's water rights. I don't think anybody envisioned at the time, but it has taken now close to 50 years, but we are getting towards the end. And what has happened is that the Water Division put together a working group to discuss the future of the Water Court. And the reason they did that is because now we have a couple judges, we have staff, we have administration that are that have a tremendous expertise in water rights, and they want to be able to keep that knowledge together. So what the product of that those discussions were with this was this bill. And like I said, what it does is it's going to take those issues that are currently adjudicated in district court, and they go to the water court. So the way this will work is the water court will continue to process the water rights claims the way they are, and then they will assume those duties that were now handled by district courts. The way this will work is the statute will create four divisions, and those follow the basins, and then you'll have a water judge who's assigned to each division. So right now there's two water judges, and you can have a judge assigned to more than one division. The judges will be appointed by the governor and then confirmed by the Senate for a period of 6 years. In that power also, the water judge will have the power to appoint water commissioners. Those are people that actually go out on the ground and resolve water rights issues. Now, there's a couple benefits to this. What we're doing is we're creating a court of expertise. We have one already. The analogous one would be the Workers' Compensation Court. This should also streamline the process for resolving water rights disputes. Right now, you can get stuck in two courts. You can be in district court and water court. This will eliminate the need to go to multiple courts. Third, district courts, they can be very busy. They have a lot going on, family law, abuse and neglect cases. So this will allow a more expeditious handling of water rights claims. And it will also allow us to continue to resolve water rights claims involving the federal government. Under federal law, states can assume jurisdiction for claims involving federal courts, and this bill will help us continue with that. So I'd ask for your support. This has been a bill that's had a diverse group of interested parties come together and work on it. So I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. President, I move to amend Senate Bill 72 with Amendment SB 72003-001, signed Senator Gillespie.
What is your pleasure, Senator Gillespie?
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 0072 be amended and request that the amendment number 0072.003.001 be posted and deemed read, Mr. President.
Senator Gillespie.
Yes. What this does is just broaden it a little bit, and it helps out those people that have put a lot of money and investment in their local courts. They feel more content there. They've worked things out over the years, and they just don't want to give up what they have there locally. And also probably takes a little pressure off the state court. But there's kind of four main bullet points, and that's when a petitioner, say you or I, file our case, we go ahead and file it in the water court, but we may choose at that time whether a water court judge or a district court judge decides the case. So we have the choice. If a petitioner requests the transfer to a district court judge, the water court shall transfer it. Not may, but shall. So that gives confidence to our locals that it will go where they want it to. The only limitation is the district court judge must be in a judicial district that is hydrologically connected to the water controversy. In other words, if you're in eastern Montana, you can't request something in western Montana. It has to be right there in the area. And also, the district court judge acts as a substitute water judge to protect primacy. And this is very, very critical because Montana, we really want to keep control of our water. And this helps assure that we do that. We keep it in Montana. We don't send it out to a federal court or anything like that. It's a Montana deal, and it stays that way. So that's very critical. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator McGeer.
Members of the Senate, I think this is the amendment king bill of the session. It's been amended a lot, and now we've got another amendment coming here. I have respectfully asked you to vote against this amendment, and here's why. It says only the petitioner and the sponsor talked about this. Only the petitioner, that's the plaintiff, can choose the court. He can decide where to go, to water court or local district court. But the water right owner, that's the defendant, does not have the right under this language to move it to a district court or anywhere. That seems to me to be unfair and allows for forum shopping by one side and can keep a water right owner from using his water rights. Vote no.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
I'm going to ask you to support this amendment. This is actually an amendment that was worked out here because there were some water users up in Senator Gillespie's area, and then I believe they go down into Fergus County. And what they do is they get together every year and they go to the water court, they petition together, and then the water court takes over. This is actually, you know, under current law right now, when this process happens, you are in district court. What this amendment does is it allows you to go over to district court. So I think we're kind of getting to the same spot here. I'm a little confused by the objection to the amendment. I think it actually makes the law in this bill more like existing law as it is, so I'd actually just support it.
Senator Brown. Senator Brown, you're lit up.
I'm not on the amendment.
Then unhitch your button, please, Senator. Senator Gillespie, would you care to close?
Yes, thank you very much. And just to reinforce it a little bit, I'm really thankful and appreciative of all the, there's just a number of really smart water lawyers contributed to this. And there was actually people that just turned their mind around on the bill in general. I think they view it as really acceptable now and something the Montana needs, where before they were opposed to it. So I think it's brought a lot of people together. Really good bill, really good amendment. Hit the green button. Thank you.
Question now arises on the amendment of Senator Gillespie that Senate Bill 72 be amended. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the votes.
Mr. President, 36 senators vote aye and 14 senators vote nay.
36 senators haven't voted aye and 14 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 72 has been amended. Is there discussion on the motion? As amended, Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. I'm going to ask a simple question. You have a water right, and there's a dispute over your water right. So you're going to go to court, or somebody's going to bring you to court as a defendant. Where would you rather go? Would you rather go to a gubernatorial appointed judge in some distant location, or would you rather go to the district court under a judge who has been elected by your colleagues and your local community and peers? Please vote no. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm going to oppose this as well, and really it's my opposition is more on process and what's happening with this bill. I believe we made 27 changes to it in committee, and then we've just added another amendment to it. I know that major water rights holders that are following this know what's up, but I believe that this is affecting every water right in the state. And having served on WPIC for three interims, the discussion always was, do we keep the water court or not? That was kind of the point that we were at when I didn't serve on the last interim. But I believe that's the question that should have been asked of this body, so they could have gotten some input from their constituents on whether or not we wanted to continue the water court. I have nothing against the water court. I just want to be clear on that. I believe the judges are absolutely fair and honest people, and everybody there is trying to do a very efficient job. The water court is not scheduled to be done if everything works the way that it's supposed to, but we know that those times get extended because their workload is real great. They're not supposed to be done until, I believe, 2028 is their scheduled date. That would leave two more sessions that we would be here to go ahead and pass this if it's necessary, but we have I just believe this is the next step. We've taken the step forward. We're starting to look at do we continue with the water court. Here's a product that the people can look at, that all water users in the state can look at, and make a determination if this is where we want to be moving forward to. So I would suggest a no vote, and we can see this again next session.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I don't serve on the committee that this bill went through again. But I have followed this bill a little bit, just because I have had some constituents reach out. Some were initially supportive of it, but I've also talked to several constituents that are very concerned about it. And it's even the individuals I've talked to that are supportive of it, it's hard to tell which version of this bill they support, because, as has been alluded to, it's been amended several times, including just a few minutes ago. So I do appreciate the sponsor's intent to find consensus on this very, very complicated issue. But because it is such an important issue, we're dealing with people's water rights, people's property rights. This is something we need to get right. So I think my friend from Great Falls has been working very hard on this, but I think it's based on the number of amendments we're seeing, we're not quite there yet. And then, as my friend from Thompson Falls mentioned, we have at least two more sessions to deal with this. So I think this is a well-intentioned bill, but it's just not ready for prime time at this point. So I hope you'll join me in voting no, Mr. President.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an important matter, and I have some stuff that I prepared, and I want to read it to you. So if you could at least listen. I know we don't like to read, but so I get this right, I appreciate your attention. The water court was established almost 45 years ago, and it's not too long, by the way. I'll just share that with you. 45 years ago, for the purpose, the sole purpose of adjudicating pre-1973 water rights. The court was always intended to be temporary and ceased to exist once the court was done. The direct courts were intended to continue to enforce water rights and decide disputes as they have for over a century. But the newly proposed Senate Bill 72 makes this temporary government program permanent without good cause. Senate Bill 72 installs a government programmed, now don't be offended here, there's just a couple of you in here, designed by lawyers for lawyers. Except for the good lawyers that are in here, I know they're all just fantastic, so we don't want to go too far down that road. Actual water right users did not ask for Montana's water rights management system to be completely overhauled and do not support this legislation. Unnecessary expand of government. There are currently 49 ongoing enforcement actions in Montana. If the water court assumes jurisdiction over all these cases, the caseload would increase by 49, and the district court system's caseload would decrease by 49. This represents an immaterial fraction of the total caseload handled by both the court system presently. Creating a new permanent statewide court system to 49 cases is a wasteful use of taxpayers' dollars. Senate Bill 72 will create an unwarranted expansion of government, including appointed water judges, not elected. If we remember that, appointed. And lastly, in current law, the DNRC can revoke, reduce permits after receiving final decrees for legal availability on its own initiative on the water rights owners. The now amended Senate Bill 72 expands this to allow private third parties to file such a petition as well as the agency, and expands this power to include change authorizations, once again forcing water right users to spend money to defend their water rights from government intrusion. Please vote no.
Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, stand in opposition to this bill. I know what an important issue it is, and people have been working on this issue very, very hard. But I'm very concerned about the consequences of this bill. The fact that the judges will be unelected, they'll be actually appointed for a six-year term, and then when they do have to run for office, all they have to run for is a retention position. They won't actually, the water users don't get to elect the judges. And under this bill, the elections will occur statewide, meaning voters in our population centers will have a larger voice than our rural voters, and those are the people that are most likely to be impacted by the outcome of these elections. So for those reasons, I'll be opposing the bill.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to touch on some things that folks have brought up. First of all, I would like to circle back around to the point of people having to travel a long ways to have their water cases heard. If you'll read right inside this bill, it's setting up a framework to where there will be regional locations around Montana where the water judges will go to where people can come to have these cases heard. Why is that important? The Court of Competent Jurisdiction. The good senator from Eureka pointed out yesterday, he challenged us all to reach out to our district court judges and have conversations on important issues. I've done just that. There are a lot of district judges in Montana that will look you in the eye and say, we will do whatever is put before us, but do we feel like we're the place to hear these cases? And the answer is a resoundingly no. They don't feel like they are the court of competent jurisdiction. Another main point to that court of competent jurisdiction under the McCarran Amendment, without that, in the absence of that court, we could be sending federal water cases to federal court as an unintended consequence without that court of competent jurisdiction. In my mind, that's the most important reason for the water court to exist into perpetuity. The last point I would like to make is there's already final decrees that have been put out. So I think that's a red herring. I mean, it's already happening. The court is getting close on these things, and this isn't something we want to kick down the road. I think it's the time is now. There has been a lot of good minds with opportunities for absolutely everybody that wanted to sit down at the table over the last 2 years to have this conversation. I would ask you for a green vote.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman. What I did, I don't know much about water. I know it runs downhill. I was on that committee, and you know that I voted no if you followed the votes on the first bill. And I really don't believe a bill of this importance should be presented on Wednesday, and you get a bunch of amendments on Friday, and you're asked to vote. So I voted no. Then I took the amendments, and I know, like I said, I know very little about water, but I did call home to two ranches that have spent a lot of money protecting their water rights against someone that had more money than them. In fact, it's a nonprofit, so maybe some of you know, and they were very thankful that the water court withstood. They didn't get everything they want, but they would have lost everything if the water court would not have been with them. Thank you.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the sponsor yield to a question?
Will the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Thank you. So my question is, the fiscal note only goes out till 2027. Current funding for the water court goes through 2028. What kind of funding are we looking at for if we continue this after the current funding runs out? Obviously, this is going to probably be much further down the road when the water court's done, but what kind of cost are we looking at to continue this beyond their current stated goal?
Mr. President, Senator Emmerich, good question. So the reason there's a zero fiscal note is that this time they don't think that any additional staff will be needed to hire or to process the cases that will be brought over. You know, it's hard to speculate into the future, but I would assume, at least in the conceivable future, that it will probably be the same. The amount of money that's used for water court has already been budgeted into the House bill, too, so that's why you see this zero fiscal note.
Follow-up question.
Follow-up.
Oh, will the sponsor continue to yield?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Apologies for this, but what is the number that we currently spend on the water court?
Mr. President, Senator Emmerich, I can't tell you how much they break out in House Bill 2. We could get that later for you if you want. You could see what the cost of running the water court is. My recollection is it's probably the equivalent of a district court with there's two judges there. They do have, I believe, a master or two and some staff. So, and obviously they have a clerk for filing. So it's I don't know. I would assume they don't have more than 15 people, but I could be wrong.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you care to close?
I would, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the discussion. One thing that kind of caught me as I sat here and listened to it is I've heard a lot of criticism and complaints about the judicial branch over the last 2 to 4 years, and here we have a bill to reform the judicial branch, to go to a more specialized court with experts in the area, and all of a sudden we don't want to do that. We apparently like the judicial branch the way it is right now. One thing I'd like to point out is that this is the product of discussions with stakeholders. Lots of people got together, water rights holders, agricultural groups, senior water right holders. Everybody had an opportunity to sit down. I realize this isn't everybody's the bill that everybody likes, but that's ultimately what compromise is about. sometimes you have to give up something in order to get something as well. So I think this is a good bill. It has had a lot of work, but that sometimes happens in this process. We do fix bills and we do make them better. No bill I've ever seen is perfect on day one. They usually do require a little work. So I think this is a good bill. Hope you'll support it, and ask for a green light.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Bill 72, recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Asp? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 28 senators vote aye and 22 senators vote nay.
28 senators haven't voted aye, 22 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 72 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 279. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 279, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the applicability of offer of settlement law actions or claims for $3 million. And amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 279. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. President, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 279, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look on the bill, it's a short bill. What it does is it increases the threshold for using what's called the offer of settlement law from $50,000 to $3 million. What this bill does is it allows a person to make a proposed settlement offer to another side, to the plaintiff or the defendant, and if the verdict comes in from the other side and it's worse than what you were offered in terms of money, the person who made the offer gets to collect attorney's fees. This is a way of resolving disputes and encouraging people to make a hard look at what a case is really worth when they settle it. This only applies to property damage cases and breach of contract cases, but by increasing the threshold to up to $3 million, I think we're really going to resolve a lot of these disputes, particularly contract cases, and you can use less resources, and hopefully people will find a little more prompt effort, make a little bit better, more of an effort at settlements. So I ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Gross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President and body. I'm opposed to this bill. I think it's a little unnecessary, and I do have a bit of a concern that insurance companies could use this as justification to deny awards. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing no further discussion, would the senator care to close?
Yes, Mr. President, insurance companies are excluded from the statute, so that shouldn't have any effect on any insurance settlement claims practices.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Bill 279, it recommend the same do pass. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Bartell. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators haven't voted aye, 15 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 279 has passed second reading. Members, you now have for your consideration Senate Resolution 4. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 4.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution is for confirmation of the governor's recommendation, a member of the Public Employees Retirement Board, in accordance with Section 2-15-1009 MCA. And the person is Sonia Woods, of Miles City, would be appointed to the term ending April 1, 2027. And Mr. President, the Public Employees Retirement Board consists of 7 members appointed by the governor with the consent of the Senate. And there's a list of the various qualifications. We heard it thoroughly in state administration. And Sonia Woods was well represented. And I recommend the committee came out unanimous endorsement. So, Mr. President, I present the nomination.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you close? Care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff, when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration Senate Resolution 4, it recommend the same be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. Senate Resolution 4 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 5. Senator Cuff, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 5. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cuff.
Whereas the governor of the state of Montana has made the appointments, which I will read, been designated to the Senate pursuant to 5-5-302 MCA. And these folks are nominated to the Board of Investments in concurrence with Section 2, 15-1808. The nominees for the Board of Investments are Porter Bennett of Pony, Montana, term ending January 1, 2027. Tim Kober of Butte for a term ending January 1, 2027. Daniel Trost of Helena, Montana, a term ending January 5, 2025. Cindy Yonkin of McAllister, Montana, for a term ending January 1, 2027. And again, Mr. Chairman, these folks all came in, spoke before state administration. They were well recommended, well documented, and the Board of Investments consists of 9 members and 2 ex officio non-voting members. So, Mr. Chairman, there is a list on of the designations, categories involved. I have them here should anyone else like to look at them. State administration passed this group of folks forward unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Resolution 5, it recommend the same be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion is signified by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, Senate Resolution 5 has passed second reading. Members, you now have for your consideration Senate Resolution 44. What is your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution number 44.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, I'm here today to ask for your support for the nominations for the Board of Water Well Contractors. There are 4 names on this resolution. Doug Askin of Miles City, Andy Esslinger of Corvallis, Will Hayes of Livingston, and Dan O'Keefe from Butte, Montana. Thank you. I appreciate a green vote on these.
Are there any questions on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Resolution 44, recommend the same be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Resolution 44 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 240,
The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 240, introduced by Small and Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled an act exempting certain subdivisions from environmental review, requiring the Department of Environmental Quality to adopt rules providing rulemaking authority and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 240. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 240, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate Bill 240 exempts certain subdivisions from environmental review. This bill is all about streamlining work at the DEQ to help them stay on time with file reviews while maintaining environmental protections. So basically what the bill states is if a subdivision file comes in for review and it's located 2 or more miles away from high quality water or is a 14 or fewer single family subdivision, so 14 units, or includes wastewater systems which treat wastewater to a certain level and also demonstrates full compliance with the acquisition of necessary water rights and water availability, then the MEPA, which is the Montana Environmental Policy Act, does not need to be done on that piece. The department does hundreds of these in a year, and it's determined that these situations are non-impactful and they're insignificant. One word of note, though, this does not apply to subdivisions which have the capability to expand or are adjacent to other subdivision projects which have already been exempted from MEPA. So you couldn't use this ruling and put like 3 or 4 of these little subdivisions together to get one big giant unit. That just won't fly. That would still have to run through a MEPA. So the smaller, less impactful subdivisions, they're going to be a little bit easier to put up as long as they're not in a riparian area, something like that, you know, something insignificant. And it should help with affordable housing because in that market, time is money. I'd appreciate green light.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator care to close? Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration Senate Bill 240, recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary or clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 32 senators vote aye and 18 senators vote nay.
32 senators having voted aye and 18 having voted no. Senate Bill 240 has passed second reading. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Mr. President, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Motion carries. The secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed. Senate bills 127, 240, 279, 293. Senate resolutions adopted. Senate resolutions 4, 5, 13, 16, 44, 50. Senate bill indefinitely postponed. Senate bill 311. Senate bills passed as amended. Senate bill 72.
Senator Regeer. Oh, sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Thank you, kind of Senator Regeer.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 20, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Related to Alcohol.
Senate Bill 20 have been read through three several times. The question, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators have voted yes. Senate Bill 20 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 182, introduced by Lenz, Bill for 19 entitled Create Task Force on a Court System for Dependency and Neglect Cases.
Senate Bill 182 having been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators have voted yes. Senate Bill 182 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 210 introduced by GLIM. A bill for an act entitled Prohibit Consent as a Defense for Physician-Assisted Suicide.
Senate Bill 210 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 24 have voted yes. 26 have voted no.
24 senators haven't voted yes. 26 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 210 has failed to pass.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 211, introduced by McGillivray, a bill for an act entitled Article 5 Convention, Commissioner Selection and Credentialing Act.
Senate Bill 211 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes. 20 have voted no.
30 senators haven't voted aye, 20 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 211 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 237, introduced by Vance, a bill for enacting title required development plans for public water and wastewater system connections.
Senate Bill 237 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Bill 237 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 309, introduced by Bartel, a bill for an act entitled Establish the Ensign James A. Shelton Memorial Highway.
Senate Bill 309 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Friedel. The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 44 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
44 senators haven't voted yes, 6 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 309 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 312, introduced by Vermeer, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Microbrewery Laws Relating to Brewer Collaboration.
Senate Bill 312 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 senators haven't voted yes, 2 have voted no. Senate Bill 312 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 314, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Construction Laws Relating to Bonds.
Senate Bill 314 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 314 has passed the Senate. That objection will go to order of business number 9, motions. Seeing none, go to order of business. Order, Mr. Majority Leader.
I apologize, Mr. President. I move to re-refer Senate Bill 127 by Senator Hertz, require Montana to provide funding for enforcement of PL 280 to financing claims.
That objection is ordered. That objection will go to order business number 10, unfinished business.
President Ellsworth, I move the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to Senate Bill 320, signed Senator Boltman.
Okay, without objection, we'll go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 6 bills, 8 o'clock.
Senator Small.
Mr. President, Senate Business and Labor, room 422, 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, 5 bills.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State Administration, 3 o'clock today, and we'll have hear some bills, do some executive action. And Mr. Chairman, Section F got lonesome for each other. We're going to have a reconvene tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, room 335. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sales.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Energy and Telecommunications, tomorrow, 317, 3 bills and EA.
Senator McGillivray.
Mr. President, Public Health today, 3 o'clock. We have 5 bills and some executive action.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Natural Resources today at 2:50 for some executive action. Then we have 1 bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education today, if we could come in about 15 minutes early, 2:45, we'll get the executive action done. And we have one bill to hear and a bunch of members that have to go present. So we'd like to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hardworking Senate Tax Committee is at work tomorrow, 9 a.m., three bills.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. The True Grinding Committee of Local Government Senate will be meeting shortly after floor for a bunch of bills. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Sorry about that, Mr. President. Move that the Senate stand adjourned until the hour 1 o'clock on February 23rd, 2023, the 39th Legislative Day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate will reconvene tomorrow at 1 o'clock.